Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 297 of the Keep Moving Forward podcast with me, your host, Anthony DiDomenico, coming to you each week. Podcast is available at anchor.fm/KMF podcast, also available on iTunes. And while you're there, please do not forget to 5-star rate and review. Also available on Spotify, still has the same 5-star rate and review. It's available while podcasts are available. Whenever you download your podcast, check it out. Patreon.com for all the bonus episodes. Patreon.com/KMF podcast. Built Bar is dropping new flavors like crazy. I actually just got like a Built Bar milk or something. I should have probably looked at it before I came on here to do this, but that's how we do things. We just talk how it happens. I'll look into it. I'll try it for next week. So many amazing products over at Built Bar. Check them out, builtbar.com. Use code WWBROPODCAST. You will save 10% off your order. Sail Away Coffee, the best tasting nitro brew around. SailAwayCoffee.com. Use code WWBRO10. Save 10% off your order as well. My good friend John Ziegler, his comedy album is on YouTube. It's called John Ziegler Getting My Affairs in Order. Easy to find the link. Just go to his Instagram page over at John Ziegler Comedy. Click the link in the bio. Brings you right to the special. Watch it. Give him some feedback. Give him some love. It's absolutely hilarious. I actually saw it live when they were filming it. So please go and give that a look. So what's new? What's going on? It's been a pretty uneventful week, really. Nothing really new. Nothing really crazy. No really changes. I hit 60 days tracking today. I guess it's a big milestone. It's a nice milestone. So 60 days, I've held myself accountable. Not all of them are pretty. Not all of them are good. But I'm aware, if that makes any sense. I wish I had, better news on that front, but it is what it is. And I'm, just taking steps to get better with that. I got some containers. I got, I was talking about last week. And now we're just going to put, that into place, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like, and I've said it a million times, it gets frustrating. It breaks you down. It wears you down, beats you down. You doubt yourself. And, I know I could do this. I know I got this. I don't want to have the same conversation I've had a million times before. So I'm just going to put that in the past and I'm just going to move forward and I'm going to celebrate 60 days tracking because it is an accomplishment and I'm happy about it. I never really paid attention to it that much before as I do now. Cause it's like the one thing I am doing, I'm tracking what I'm eating. So I'm sticking to that. Last week, like I said, wasn't really anything out of the ordinary. I drove a little ride share. I took the weekend off actually from driving because last weekend, as we talked about, I did that marathon 12-hour shift. So this week was just a few days during the week, and then I did. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think I drove those days, and then I took off from Wednesday, and then I'll drive again tomorrow. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I didn't drive. Giving the Rock Creek a little rest, before we bring it back into action. Also, this weekend, it was Saturday was a fun day for me in the fact that there was a wrestling pay-per-view on, and my favorite college team, the University of Miami, or as we call it, the U was playing. So I wanted to check that out. So I put my iPad down to the cigar lounge. You was on TV. Wrestling was on the iPad. And I just, like, you know, enjoyed myself and hung out and did that for all day. And then I was back on Sunday watching football, eating Finn's Deli, and back to the grind. But Friday, we did actually go out to dinner, me and some of the boys from the lounge. We took our buddy Keith out, who's actually moving tomorrow. Well, I'll be going to the lounge in a little bit for his send-off. We went to a restaurant on Long Island here, a steakhouse. They had a great deal. I'm going to give a plug here because I don't think you're going to find a deal like this. It was $44 for a fixed menu. And you get like a choice of your appetizer. I got the meatballs. There was the entree is prime rib, and you get a piece of cheesecake for dessert. $44. Awesome. And the other things too in the entree, they have like pork chops or ribs or like a short rib or some macaroni. Different kind of appetizers as well. The meatballs like jumped out at me. It was good food. We had a good time. And we're going to be sending Keith off, you know, tonight with a bang. Yeah, he's Keith is a really good dude. And sad to see him go. You know, he's been talking about moving for as long as I've known him. And now he's doing it, which is good for him. Like, you listen, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do to change your lifestyle, as we've talked about on this podcast a million times, or change a comfortable situation and change what you know. And I give him a lot of credit for that. But it's not gonna be the same without him down at the lounge. Kind of keeps us all in check. He's a really, really good dude. You know, like when they accidentally leave cigars in the boxes they're gonna throw out, and then they find them, like, you know, when we find them, Keith always makes us give them back. That's probably not gonna happen anymore. Maybe a few might find a way into my bag. I'm just saying. But he is he was one of the first guys, you know, that I talk about. You know, Mark was and Keith were really the two first guys that kind of welcomed me into that group and made me feel welcomed and like I was one of them. You know, because it really is. It's Cheers down there. If you've ever seen Cheers, that's what the cigar lounge is like. And people, you know, sometimes they don't understand why I like it there so much, because there's always a chance. I was going to say you want to go, everybody knows your name, but it's true, because you can go there at any time, at any point during the day, and there's a 99% chance you walk in, there's somebody you know to hang out with there, which is, it's nice. It's nice to have a place like that. And, you know, and it's funny because it gets busy in the winter because, you know, you can't really smoke outside and football's on and sports and. We love the summers there because there's no one there. It's like the eight of us. We just sit around, you know, six of us, whatever it is. So we always like, oh, I can't wait for the summer. You know, no one's here. But in all seriousness, he's a good guy, and it's gonna give me that motivation to get my ass to, you know, on a trip out west to go see him. So I can't looking forward to the send off tonight. And you know, it's not goodbye forever. You know, Keith's got family here. I'll be back. But it's going to be like a little adjustment. I was joking around. I'm like, you know, he's the one who keeps me in check. You know, he reels me in. I'm going to be, you know, I was going to be, you know, being very unpleasant with everybody here. Oh, man. So that's what I'm doing after this. I had like almost like a heart attack Saturday night. We'll talk about that. So Powerball is like it's like 1.5 something billion dollars, and it was 1.4 the other night. I played Powerball on the Jackpocket app. Jackpocket might want to watch how they send out emails if you win $4. I'm half asleep. I fell asleep watching something on my iPad, so I was putting my iPad away and plugging my phone in, and I just checked, you know, real quick. I checked, you know, Instagram, my emails, And it says you're winning Powerball. Congratulations. You've won something about the winnings from Powerball. And I was like, what the? And my heart just like literally stopped for a second. And I clicked on it and I won $4. Oh, man. It, for like a second, I was a billionaire. And it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, we talked about like, what would I do if I won the lottery? And I'm like, it's here. And in my head for just like a, they say like your life flashes before your eyes. This was it. My billionaire life flashed before my eyes. And it ended just as quickly. I'm not a billionaire. Oh, it was nuts though. It was nuts seeing that email. Do I still have it? I mean, I want to even just take a look at it and see what it says. Yeah, it says congrats, you've won. And then it was like $4. You know, it's like, and then they write here too. It got me even more aggravated. It goes, go ahead and play a little air guitar. Of course, we've already credited your Powerball winnings to your Jackpocket account. Use your credits to keep playing or tap the payout side menu, Jackpocket app to withdraw them. All right. I guess I'm going to put that towards a new ticket for the next one. And hopefully something does happen. But that was insane. That was insane seeing that whole thing and thinking for a second I was a millionaire, close to a billionaire. Because they take half. Man, today would have been so much different. I wouldn't have just fallen asleep before I did the podcast here, because I would have been home already and took a nap after I told some people where to go and how to get there after I won the lottery and I came home, I went back to sleep. And I would announce you on the podcast. You know, and all five of you would have known about it before anybody else. Anyway. I know a lot of people are off today. Today is a national holiday. Today is Columbus Day. And I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that. And this month is Italian Heritage Month. And as someone who is Italian American, I'm very proud of my Italian heritage. I'm very proud to be Italian and of my family and, you know, their story and everything else. And Columbus Day, you know, means something different to me than it means to most people. And, you know, I didn't always know this. I didn't always know the history of why Italians celebrate Columbus Day and why it means a lot to them. Yeah, there's some people that, like, you know, grab on to Columbus was Italian, discovered America. I mean, history has kind of shown that it was South America. I'm not getting into that. I'm not getting into the politics of it either, because that's not what this is about. Not about what you believe he was or wasn't, or the kind of person he was. That's not what this is. So I found out a few years ago the meaning behind kind of why Italians grabbed onto a Columbus Day and made it their own holiday. And it is a day. It is day of Italian pride, absolutely. And be proud of your culture, your heritage, and you know the values that you had or taught growing up. I know I'm extremely proud of that, and extremely grateful to grow up in the family that I did, and just the traditions that we have. And it's kind of made me who I am today in a lot of ways. So. A few years ago, I found out, I'm going to read it to you. I posted it on my Instagram today. You can go check it out at Comic Anthony Day. I also posted a video on my stories about this. So Columbus Day was signed into law by President Benjamin Harrison in 1892 as tribute and an act of forgiveness to the Italian immigrant community in response to the lynchings of 11 Italians that took place in New Orleans on March 14th, 1891. To this day, still the largest number of people ever lynched at one time in the United States. The Columbus Day holiday quickly became a great source of pride and symbol of defiance for the Italian-American community against the horrific murders. To tear down a statue of Columbus is a slap in the face of the Italian-Americans. That was posted. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to get too much more into the statues and stuff like that, because, again, this is not the time and the place or, you know, the avenue for that. If anybody wants to have a private conversation, we can. But it goes back to that, the lynchings of the 11 Italian-Americans. What happened was a police chief was murdered. And when they asked him, like, who did this as he was dying in the street, and he said a slur against Italians. And they went around, like, locking up the Italians in the area, mostly Sicilian. And like I said, they had the largest mob lynching of 11 people. And the city of New Orleans didn't even apologize to this until 2019. But this is one of the reasons, the main reason, you know, is because Italy, actually, the diplomatic status of the United States and Italy was kind of like, you know, Italy stopped it. And I read somewhere they actually almost went to war over this. So as an apology and you know, as a peace offering, they signed, you know, a Columbus Day. They gave it to that year to the Italian Americans as a forgiveness and to celebrate, you know, the culture and the history. And I think about that every year when, you know, it comes around, and it's crazy. I can't imagine living in that time where it was like that. You know, my great-grandmother came over here when she was 14 in 1912, boat from Sicily here by herself. Her brother was here. She came to live with a brother. She left her family back there. How courageous that was, like, you know, as a 14-year-old. I mean, I couldn't go to sleepaway camp, football sleepaway camp, for a week when I was like 11 to 12. I got homesick. They had to come get me the next day. I couldn't imagine, like, leaving everything I knew and getting on a ship. And I don't know how long it took back in those days. Coming to a foreign country where you don't speak the language, you don't really know anybody, and you make a life for yourself. That's very proud of that. And like I said before, I'm proud to be Italian. And, you know, I do embrace the traditions and everything, like, you know, that comes with that. You know, big on family. You know, food is a big tradition, you know, cooking, and then showing somebody that's how you kind of, like, you know, give love by making them a meal. You know, to this day, that's one of my three tricks when I meet a girl. I she comes see me, I do a show, and I'll cook for her. And the other one I can't say here, but it's not what you're thinking. Believe me, that's over very quickly. But it is. It's how I, you know, do something nice. You make them something. You cook them a meal. You make just something in the oven. And that's how I was, you know, raised. My grandmother, that was her thing. That was how she showed love. She cooked for you. You know, you came home. Did you eat? You know, I'll make you something. Always wanted to give. My grandmother was very family oriented. Her family came first. My mother was the same way, you know, more of a new school way, but, you know, her family came before her, and she took care of us, and put us first until we were in our 20s. And then even then, when she went back to school and she wasn't cooking every night, she still cooked all day on Sunday. So there was always food in the house. I mean, so it never stopped. And, you know, I think about this, like, you know, when you, people you want to surround yourself with, you want to surround yourself with those same kind of values and the same kind of, you know, ethics with, you know, as far as they hold near and dear to them. And again, go back to the cigar lounge. That's one of the reasons why I go in there. It's like a family. It's like that same thing. We help each other out. We do things for each other. You know, it's, I like being around that. And it's, to, in the weird way too, it's like, I, I'm not saying it's the reason I like driving rideshare, but like I like helping people out. People are drunk or they need, you know, make sure they get home safe. You know, one of the best rides I ever had. I pulled up to a spot and this woman came over. She looked exhausted. And she opened the door. She didn't even get in. She goes, "Listen, you're probably not going to want to take me where I'm going." She goes, "I've been waiting here over an hour. I've had like three people cancel on me when they found out." Excuse me. And I'm like, "Where are you going?" And she said, "I'm going to Harrison, New York. It's right above Westchester." I was like, "Get in. Come on, let's take a ride." And it was over an hour away. I had traffic and this and that, and she fell asleep in the car. I felt so bad. And I started thinking, like, this is a woman waiting here for over an hour in a parking lot. This was the summertime. It was hot. And just trying to get home, you know. And some people don't have licenses. Some people can't drive for different reasons. So, yeah, like, you know, I feel like I'm doing my part. Yeah, I'm making money, but I'm still getting somebody where they got to go. And that, to me, has been my favorite trip I've taken driving rideshare. And the person probably will never know about it. But it meant a lot. You know, because I'm not well off. I can't pay for things like that. But I could take you somewhere if you need to go. I can make you some macaroni or a pot of gravy. I could do the little things. That counts. And I take that from growing up and, you know, from seeing what my family did and, you know, and I don't know if that's just my family or if that's Italian heritage and culture, but it taught me well and it made me, like, you know, I think a better person. And I'm happy and proud to be a part of all that, if that makes any sense to anybody. So today, you know, being Columbus Day, I do celebrate that. And this whole month, Italian Heritage Month, I will celebrate extra my heritage of being Italian American. My father is Sicilian. My mother, she's half Italian. She was Napoli Don. So I feel like I got the best of both worlds. A little north, a little south. Makes, you know, it's why I have like fairer skin and eyes. My dad's got, like, you know, he's got really curly hair and he's more of an olive complexion. My mom was, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes. She's not 100% Italian. She's half Italian, but still a lot of Northern Italians do have lighter hair, lighter eyes. And it mixed well, I think. Anyway, I'm just saying it's, be proud of whatever you know, it's more of being proud of what you are, whatever nationality you are, you know, learn about your culture, learn about your history. You know, people that came before you, they broke through a lot of walls and barriers. So we could have this, the things that we have now. You know, I think about my great grandmother, 14 years old on a boat. In 1912, coming to America, like, you know, little did she know she would have a great grandson that failed at show business and podcasting. She probably would have been back. No, in all seriousness, she was great. Well, we called her little grandma because she was like very affectionately little. We called her little grandma. She was like 4'10", 4'11". So all the great grandchildren affectionately called her little grandma. And it was, you know, again, she for a period of time lived in the house with us, you know, with my grandmother, my grandpa. So I had that generation there too. So it was like, you know, the first generation here. Then my grandmother was first born here. My dad was second generation born here. We're third. You know, it's I'm very lucky I got to experience all that. And I remember we all ended on this. Like one day, my great grandmother was downstairs. My grandmother was working. My grandfather passed away already. I came down to get a snack at my grandmother's because that's what my grandmother did. She fed us, but she wasn't home. And little grandma was at the table. And I knew where the cookies were, and I got some cookies. I got a glass of iced tea, and I was sitting there, and we had a conversation. She spoke Sicilian. She didn't really speak English. I barely understood anything. We had a whole conversation. She was telling me about my Uncle Sammy, about how smart he was. And he, when the time that they called him down to school, and my great-grandfather was like, "You are in so much trouble. Like, what did you do? When I get home, you're really going to get it." And what they called him down for, he was doing so well. He was so smart. They wanted to advance him. They wanted to challenge him more and give him, you know, more work, and because that's how smart he was. And I love that story. And she told me that story. I was a kid. I don't remember how it got across, but my mother went upstairs. My mother was like, "What are you talking to little grandma?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "She told me the Uncle Sammy story." She goes, "Did you understand a lot of it?" I go, "Nah, but I got the gist because my grandmother had told me the story." And she told, you know, and it was just a moment, you know, I was old enough. My great grandmother was in her 90s and, you know, she passed away not soon after that. But, it's something. And that's one thing I'm very happy for my family that I'm very proud of is that we all, at one point, we're all under that one roof. I you know, it's coming up on 2 years now, and I've talked about it in the past, but it's a lot of history and a lot of, you know, stuff that I picked up on, and I'm happy about it. I'm proud of it. And so I'll take this month to celebrate even more and, you know, continue to tell those stories. Because I think our heritage, our nationality, and our family is what molds us and what sculpts us and what makes us the people we are. I'm sorry. I messed that whole thing up. It was very nice. I've had like a little bit of a cold. It probably sounded like I was dying on a podcast. I guess I can't use that as a clip. Anyway, I'm such a mess. Thank you, everybody, who joined us here for episode 297. As always, we are played in and out each week by Hollow and their single, Something to Believe. My best friend Nick wrote this song. Check it out on iTunes. While you're there, his new band, Demon Scar, dropping new music like crazy. DemonScar.bandcamp.com. Long Island, only one place to go for your deli needs. That's Finn's Deli, 4646 Merrick Road in Massapequa. Tell my brother Mike you heard the plug on the show and then get yourself an Uncle Cheese, the best sandwich out there, finsdeli.com. Thank you so much once again to everybody who joined us. This has been episode 297. Have an awesome week. I'll talk to you later.